Hi, I'm the Dark Tangent, and you're about to listen to some speeches from DEF CON 2, held at the Sahara Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1994, July 22nd to the 24th. This speech and all speeches are copywritten, the Dark Tangent and DEF CON Communications, all rights reserved, except permission is granted for educational nonprofit use. Now, the Sahara, like most other hotels DEF CON's been at, has since been blown up to make way for a bigger and better hotel. So with that in mind, sit back, relax, get ready for some good speeches.
Can it pick me up? Okay, we're going to start off the evening session, the first one of its kind, because last night Mr. Ludwig had come home from Australia or Africa or someplace with an A in it and was jet lagged. Because everybody was so interested in the Van Eck stuff and the Tempest Shielding, Wins decided to do a pretty quick impromptu, just kind of covering that topic since he's not going to be talking about that tomorrow on his discussion. So to start off before the cell stuff, we've got Wins up with specifics.
I brought no notes. And excuse the cold, I apologize. There were a lot of questions earlier about Tempest and the Van Eck stuff. I just wanted to go over it really quickly so everybody had the common base of knowledge about what it's all about. I think somebody earlier mentioned that it's radiation coming out of the machine. Some people said it was RF or what have you. What goes on inside of any of the monitors or the monitor driving circuitry is really pretty straight ahead. You have a pixel drive frequency that's going to vary from machine to machine, but when you start playing the detection game on it and video reconstruction, you're sitting in the neighborhood generally for a fundamental frequency of about 21 to 22 megahertz. Depending upon the kind of electromagnetic sewer that you may live in, it may end up coming around 44, but I'll get into that in a moment. Now, a lot of people say, no, you cannot pick up the horizontal and vertical sync frequencies. That's the key to the whole thing about what the NSA has been trying to keep secret for quite a while about how this all works. The emanations that are coming off of your CRT or the associated cabling and video drive card is just the video component itself. Now, if you go back 15 years or such, no pictures, Ray, please. Go back down to VIC-20, Trash 80 days. You may remember that if you had the computer too close to the TV set, you'd have all these black lines kind of going back and forth across the set. Is anybody old? Some people are old enough, right, Ray? Yeah, you remember. What that is essentially the video information coming off your CRT just interfering with the reception of the television, and thus came along in 83 the FCC Reg B's and all that for various types of shielding and filtering. Now, in order for you to be able to pick up that information, to be able to read somebody's CRT from a distance, number one, you need to be able to have a receiver of some sort. We'll describe that in a second. To be able to pick up that fundamental frequency, typically 21, 22 megahertz or 44 will be the easiest. But what you need to do is reintroduce the synchronization signals that are normally going to be present in the video monitor itself. So you're going to have your 60 hertz, which is your vertical synchronization. If you're doing it on a black and white TV set, it'll be 60. If you're doing it on a color, you've got to twist it a little down to about 59.94. But then the ultimate trick is, how do you get the horizontal frequency to scan into it and lock everything up? Now, without using phase lock loops and tying together the two pieces of equipment, which would break all the rules and all the fun, you're going to have some manual adjustment to do. But typically, for a CGA, you're going to be sitting at, what, 15,750, at EGA, 22,7, and you're going to work your way up, depending upon the kind of monitor that you're trying to detect from. Now, I said earlier that we could do this off of a black and white television set. If you want to play with Van Eck stuff real cheap, just to get a feel for what it's like, pick up an old black and white, whether it's a tube television set, or one of the older ones, old black and white sets you get for $29, $39 that has a tuning dial on it, none of the digital stuff, because it won't work for you. Inside of there, make sure on the back of the cabinet that there's a schematic or something, because you need to adjust only one component inside of it to make this work. There's a resistor that will be part of the horizontal drive circuit, and you'll see a tank circuit, a resistor and a capacitor, and in some TVs a little inductor in there, which sets the frequency for the horizontal scan, and it's going to be typically on those old sets, 15,750, which will limit your pickup to a CGA monitor, but it proves the point, and it's still fun. Take out that resistor, and it'll be somewhere between 10K and 100K. Replace it with a potentiometer, which you probably have lying around or pay 29 cents for at Radio Shack. Then using the standard old rabbit ears and your monitor, you will be able to lock in by adjusting the vertical sync. If you don't have a vertical sync adjustment on the back of the set, again, just grab a hold of the pot of the resistor in there and put in a pot. But most of the old ones have the vertical roll. And play between the two of them. And you'll be able to pick up the actual video signal that is coming off of whatever monitor you're picking up. Now remember, at this point, just keep it in the CGA world because you're going to be limited to the amount of horizontal scan frequency that you can do on that particular setup. If you try to pick up VGA or EGA signals, on some of the old sets you can stretch it to an EGA, but it's really pushing the edge of it, and VGA you will not be able to pick up, you'll just totally overdrive the horizontal circuits and it'll crash on you. So there's the fundamental basics of how to do it. Now, the original Van Eck work, which is well popularized, is basically quite accurate as to how to do things. He put in some fancy things in his later work using phase lock loops and other circuitry, which is unnecessary just to prove the point. We've done an awful lot of this stuff using basic black and white TVs. We had an old Dumont tube television set we used to take around to trade shows to demonstrate it. Thing weighed 800 pounds. It was one of the old console sets. But we were able to pick up everything from laptops all the way up to, in trade shows, pick up most people's video displays running around the show. Now, the question that also comes up a lot is, how far is this going to work? And again, we have to get back to the issue of electromagnetic sewage. How bad is it? In Washington, D.C., which is normally pretty bad, we were able, within a hotel, using one of these old black and white TVs, to pick up signals about 300 yards away. The other thing that you'll find is if you start the scanning process, in between channels 3 and 4 is where you're going to start, and then you sometimes end up between 5 and 6 for better reception, you can start picking up the video surveillance systems of the hotels or some of the other signals that are going on because you're picking up the harmonics of them. So we ended up picking up all the surveillance cameras of inside this particular hotel up in Washington, and it was kind of a surprise to us. In theory, according to Van Eck's original work and the follow-up work done by Professor Moeller in Germany in 1990, the effects will work up to about a kilometer away. In terms of New York and places like that, I've never found a result that is going to be that good. We've even used very, very expensive $30,000 and $40,000 receivers by Watkins Johnson and some of the other Tempest receiving companies that have this kind of equipment. They build it for the testing labs that build the Tempest equipment. It still is not all that great, because what you need to do to clean up the signal is run it through an FFT circuit, either a hardware circuit or through some FFT software if you're able to store the output of your intercepted signals, and then do a cleanup at a later date. If you have highly, highly specialized equipment, we have some videos from the BBC that have some exquisite, exquisite detection inside of high-rises from a van on the streets of London, going up to about 400 feet with exquisite, exquisite quality. We have some similar stuff coming out of Sweden. And they're using some very, very expensive equipment with online FFT. So it's real-time demodulation and video reconstruction going on. But for just playing around and proving the point, you can do it just for a few dollars, and you'll be able to pick it up for a couple of hundred feet. The last question that often comes up is, how can I pick up one monitor versus another monitor? Aren't all monitors the same? They are in theory, but from a manufacturing tolerance standpoint, if I'm building a monitor, I don't care if it's 15750 or 15800 or 15900. It makes no difference because it's in a self-contained unit. I'm still going to get a perfectly good signal. So when you're doing scanning across multiple machines, and generally with more expensive equipment, you can actually tune into the different pieces of equipment that are maybe on a trading floor or an office full of secretaries or what have you, because the horizontal scan frequency of each monitor is slightly different just due to the manufacturing tolerances, and you'll be able to get through on those. And that's just a quick real high-level overview of what Tempest and how some of the Van Eck stuff, you get to play with it for fun. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Otherwise, on to the cellular guys. Ray? Yes and no is the answer. I've wanted to do it, but the problem has been that to go beyond the EGA realm up to the VGA realm takes it out of the price range of really the hobbyist. If you're interested in that kind of equipment, there's a company down in New Mexico that manufactures one that I've never been able to get to work, but maybe you could have some luck. It's called Consumertronics, and they're down in 515 somewhere in New Mexico. And I've never been able to get their equipment to work. They supply you with a full decoding demodulation box, which is actually an old television tuner, some digital circuitry to range it up to VGA, and they give you a VGA monochrome monitor. Price range about $1,700, which takes it way above the range that I want it to be in. We wanted to originally market one for hobbyist concerns for black and white, prove the point, educational purposes, but it's pretty much limited in that price range down to the CGA output, which is pretty much passe, so we decided, it's not really worth it at this point. Chris.
I've been doing my
You can't, because what's happening is you're having the heat tolerance drift from the horizontal frequency of the actual device you're trying to monitor. Its frequency is consistently changing, because it's basically an RC network or an RCL network that's just saying, here, I'm 15750, give or take, whatever. And at your end, on the receiving, you're at the same end, so we've always had to keep it manually triggering it. Unless you have an actual synchronization, hardwire synchronization between the two, you're going to end up with drift. Well, that's the circuit that you should be adding. You should be having a manual vertical and a manual horizontal control because your source is not constant. Your source is continuously varying because it doesn't care. A device like this? Well, I was talking about the Consumertronics device. I've never been able to get it to work. The reason I feel about Williams the way I do is because it never worked and he never gave me the money back. It was $2,000 out of my pocket. They do have video stabilization, but the whole point is if you're going to have video stabilization, you have to have a communication between the two devices in order to establish synchronization. You can't have synchronization that is totally independent of each other when one is floating. You have a floating source. And when that's floating, you have to adjust the output, and unless there's some hardwire connection or communication between the two, you're just going to it's going to be random forever. So, yeah, it's a fight. What the FFT does isn't correct for the horizontal stabilization. What it does is takes out the noise. It's a fast Fourier transform, which is able to actually strip out signal from, if you end up with a video signal that's really god-awful, and you can see kind of something in the background because maybe you have a low-gain antenna or something, using an FFT, either software or hardware device, you can pull out some additional signal out of it and clean it up. But that has nothing to do with the synchronization at all. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Here's the plug. Now that you've asked, it's coming, yes. The book is a new book called Information Warfare. And I'll be talking about it a little bit more tomorrow than today, but Vanek's phenomena is in it. What it really is an outline of the New World paradigm, what the various types of information weapon systems are that are available to the bad guys, the good guys, whoever, and what information wars are going to be looking like over the next decade, some of which have already started, some of which have not yet occurred, some technology of which has already been deployed, some technology of which has not yet been deployed or leaked down from the higher levels, military development, what have you, down into the streets. And it's an analysis of what future wars are going to be looking like. The book is available over at the mall, the fashion mall at Walden Books, or at your local bookstores. And I understand Jeff's going to have a few here if the FedEx shipment ever gets here to give away or what have you. For you? I think it's $22.95. I think it's the price. Chris, anybody? Anybody know what the price is? It's whatever hardbacks go for these days. Hard bucks go for. Any other questions? Yes, sir. It's all a function of horizontal sync frequency. It's all it is. I mean, well, off of a black and white TV it is, yes. The older black and white TVs give you more range to work with just because they were much better built and more expensive in their day. Macs are going to have a different frequency. The Super VGAs are going to have different frequencies. I don't know them all on top of my head. Now, Williams does, Identical Supertronics, does have a very good document on it with some schematics as well on some of his work. And the document runs, I think it's $19. And he goes through all the frequency lists and obviously trying to peddle his equipment as a result of it. And I found that to be a useful document. But Van Eck's document is good and Muller's document is a good source as well. Once again, if your source is drifting, you have to somehow compensate for that. And we just always did it because we were doing it for demonstration purposes, not for real surveillance purposes. We just manually wrote it. So it's a pain, but it's not all that bad. Once the source device tends to heat up and stabilize, it shouldn't be all that bad, but you're still going to get drift. John Williams runs this company down there, and he insisted upon $2,000, I think it was, in cash in advance. Wouldn't take a company check or anything. This was for a major defense contractor that we were doing this work. And we received the device and plugged it in, followed the directions, just did not work. We tried everything. We opened it up. We looked. Oh, that chip fell out. That must be it. Squeezed the chip back in. But the inside of it looked like it had been built by my 3-year-old son. I mean, it was really pretty bad. So we called up John and said, John, this thing's broken. He says, you're trying to rip me off. No, John, we just want it to work for the $2,000 we gave you. Well, send it back. So we sent it back, and he sent it back to us so a couple weeks later with all of the silicon around the edges and top of the screws and everything with this scathing letter that we were trying to rip off his designs and put him out of business. So the relationship soured very quickly after that point. We never got any of his boxes ever to work. I have seen his video of his own demonstration, and it works according to the way it should work. But we've never been able to, it was a good video, but we've never been able to get it to work. That's not saying that the next one won't. We may have had a bad lemon and he just had an attitude. I don't know. If you got $2,000 to go play, have a ball. Ray. I have seen the real equipment. The real equipment runs between $80,000 and $100,000. They are typically called Tempest receivers, and they are used in order for the development of Tempest equipment and the testing of Tempest equipment in SCIF environments, which are electromagnetically isolated environments where they essentially test it inside of a Faraday cage. And the results are, without FFT, are pretty darn good. With FFT, they're exquisite. And I think the BBC video is still probably the best that I've ever seen in terms of publicly available stuff. I understand that the video, which was first done by the BBC in 1988, and the video was called High Tech Spies. The rumor is, and I was told this by a certified Tempest engineer up in Washington, that the NSA wasn't terribly happy that it was brought out and may have done some of these idiot classifications like, well, we'll classify it even though it's publicly available. But it's an exquisite video, very, very fine quality. Ray again. The Van Eck papers talked to Ross Engineering up in Sterling, Virginia. The Moeller papers, I've got those. Williams' work, he's down in 515 in Alamogordo. It's actually, his work is, the documentation is not bad. It was a good source of material. And then I think in the end of the book, I've got some more, I've got about 40 pages of resources as well that'll cover through most of these places. There's a place up in New Hampshire called Spy Supply that used to sell it, but they were visited by the NSA and asked not to. They're in Denver now? When do they move? I spoke to Spy Supply? If there's a current one. I only know them from New Hampshire. Yeah, Bob Carp. They're in Denver now? Well, he's in Denver, and I don't know the new number. 800, okay.
Well, no, the 800 number is those guys that are marketing that
we're really popular with. Any other questions, or on to cellular? On to cellular. Oh, one more. Yes, sir. You can't generate any sync out of them because they're totally different frequencies. If you look at a waveform of a typical video signal, they're just non-related at all, and they're not going to propagate. So, I mean, if they could, obviously everybody would be doing a lot better job than they are. Yeah. Thanks a lot. We'll see you tomorrow.